ABC AFL Daily is the best conversation in footy. Hosted by Corbin Middlemass and Ben Cameron, alongside regulars like Mick Malthouse.
I mean, I don't remember too many games, but it's one of the ones I remembered. It was just that physical.
Bob Murphy.
Where do you guys get off thinking you can pick and choose?
And more, it keeps you in the loop with the biggest stories in the AFL and the number one analysis in the game. ABC AFL Daily, 5 eps a week on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
The whole football is coming home thing. We're beyond a joke at this point, aren't we? 60 years England has waited for a major men's title. 6 decades. You know what, though? The World Cup is just more fun when the three lions are roaring and relevant. They went oh so close under Gareth Southgate. Now, England enter a World Cup with a German manager and a squad spearheaded by stars like Harry Kane, Jude Bellingham, Bukayo Saka. How will they cope with the metaphorical heat? What about the actual heat, for that matter? They looked burned in the training camp. Today we are going deep on England. We'll also touch on some big stories regarding Iran and Cabo Verde. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily World Cup Special. Izzy Christensen is a former England Lioness. These days she's coaching at Manchester City and delivering razor-sharp analysis for Sky Sports in the UK. Izzy, welcome. There's something intoxicating about an English World Cup campaign, and I want to be thoughtful about this squad and their chances, but I want to feel the emotion too. Can you maybe begin by describing the way England is interacting with this team? What's the central emotion, if you had to tap into English fandom, that you're seeing?
It's so interesting at the moment because obviously Thomas Tuchel being the third English manager who's not from England, obviously Capello and Sven-Göran Eriksson, and being the German that he is, that obviously everybody knows the rivalry between England and Germany in football. So now for us to have a German head coach who is, you know, he's a mastermind tactician. He's only been in the post just over a year. And obviously the expectation lies very simply with he needs to win the World Cup with England.
But for me, he has to win the World Cup. I'm going to sound so old school here, but if I can have a German manager managing England, it better be to win the World Cup.
And that is what the FA expect. That's what the FA want. And that's what every fan wants. And I think there's a level of expectation around the fans and a level of sort of optimism. Everybody, it feels like we're on the edge of like a bird on the edge of the branch waiting to fly. I feel like that's where this England team are at right now under Tuchel. And I think as footballing and especially tournament cliches go, we're just waiting to peak at exactly the right time. And the coming match on Wednesday night is going to be difficult against Croatia, a really good side.
To see his squad, I mean, the German was brave in many regards, leaving out big names like Foden, Palmer, Alexander-Arnold, all not there amongst others. I mean, how is this team, do you think, being appreciated in England, maybe compared to the Southgate iterations that Australians are so familiar with, who went oh so close at major tournaments gone by?
Yeah, I mean, I have so much respect for Gareth Southgate, and I know, you know, a lot of England fans are quite cynical in the fact that, oh, like, we should have won. But I just think the growth and the progress that Southgate instilled into the team and the nation beyond just football, he created a culture of togetherness and kind of united the nation over the reign that he was the head coach. I think with the England team, the way I see it at the moment, it is literally built around Harry Kane.
It is going to be Harry Kane! Oh, that is staggeringly good! That's Harry Kane for you!
And I think that I think everybody has generated more respect for Harry Kane. Obviously, everybody knows he's a world-class striker, but his season at Bayern Munich over the last couple of years, he's been superb, and he is entering the bracket of Ballon d'Or status. And if he was to perform at this World Cup and England were going to go and win it, perhaps, I wouldn't be surprised if Harry Kane's name is associated in that bracket. And that is definitely been part of Tuchel's thinking around Harry Kane. How can I get the best out of my world-class striker, my captain? He's picked players that run in behind, Anthony Gordon, Marcus Rashford. And that's why Foden, that's why Cole Palmer are not there, because they're players that are like ball magnets. They want to come to the ball, they want to play, you know, drop deep, link play, you know, typical kind of, both of them have played under Guardiola in Cole Palmer and Foden. So that's the kind of style we're seeing the change. And genuinely, I think if I could put a pin on how England are going to play it, how can England get runners off Harry Kane and be dynamic in the way that they attack?
I love that you're driving into Kane, coming off this insane season, arguably the best player on earth right now. We've seen him labour at major tournaments. We've seen him shine at major tournaments. Do you feel as though this one is like has destiny written all over it for a guy who has been able to ply his trade at Bayern Munich away from the intensity of the Premier League this year?
Yeah, 100%. And he's, you know, everybody speaks about his level of professionalism as an elite athlete, and everyone sat at home will say, oh, but that's a footballer's job, is to stay in good condition. But I think the way that he applies himself, his level of adherence to his role and his focus, he's almost got a Cristiano Ronaldo type mindset, but in a less selfish way. And I think, I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean that he is a team player. But he's a team player that has a huge level of expectation from his teammates to say, give me the ball. You give the ball to Harry Kane inside the 6-yard box, he will score. And I don't think there's many better in the world as him in those areas of the pitch when it comes to finishing. And it's the hardest part of football. But I think, like you say, the season he's had at Bayern, the respect that he's earned, the goals, the stats, he is in the elite.
Harry Kane! Spectacular!
You know, he's 34, and I think to have that level of performance, and I think that he's also someone that manages pressure really well, as you Aussies will probably know that, you know, football is like a hot cauldron back here in the UK, and obviously there is a huge level of expectation on any England team that goes into a major tournament that we have to win, and things can turn very sour very quickly. So I think Harry Kane is somebody who manages the expectation of the nation really well. He's got such a unique mindset, and I think that at the helm of the team, along with Tuchel's tactical kind of expertise and his ability to get the best out of the group, is where England are at right now. It's just a question of can they do it.
I feel like given the bulk of these players plied their trade in the Premier League, you can kind of cut it two ways. Like, are they going to be battle-hardened, you know, forged in the fire of the best, or fatigue? Is it going to be tired? When I think about a player like, for as an example, who might be totemic of that, Bukayo Saka, he's had such a workload to get through for Arsenal. How do you see that contradiction?
Well, obviously, I think that's where the lead-in to the tournament, the management of the players, the physical load, the mental load. I think sometimes the physical and the mental load are equal. And I think that's where when you get into the heat of the battle, into a fixture, especially in the magnitude of a World Cup out there in the heat, I think that your emotional and your decision-making gets affected by the heat, as well as obviously your physical performance. So that's on the managers and the coaching staff to understand and view it. I mean, there's so many eyes from every camp now on performance. You know, you've got live data coming in, GPS data. There's so many kind of facts you can tap into during a live game that mean that you could alter things if you need to throughout the fixture. And like you say, players like Bukayo Saka, he's probably not 100% fit. And we've seen that, and that's been openly admitted to.
Between Mikel and Arsenal medical team and Thomas and the England medical team since March, they've managed me amazingly and helped me get back on the pitch and do what I can for the team. And I'm feeling better than I felt in the last few months. And yeah, I'm ready to go.
You know, when he's come back from injury for Arsenal, playing in Champions League final, winning, you know, the Premier League, he's had such a big season, and no doubt he'll be used. And I think it's going to be the classic that we have so many top players that have been experiencing top Premier League fixtures with such high intensity that this will almost be a test of how can we adapt, because the target on England's back is always there. Everyone wants to completely destroy England when they play them, and they'll tap into anything they can to do that.
You touch on the heat. Look, Pom's in the sun. That is like a trope in Australia. You appreciate this, I'm sure. But I got to say, like seeing Declan Rice and the sunburn that he was sporting after their training camp.
When the sunburn went. I think everyone's seen them photos, yeah. Honestly. Yeah, I was bright red on that photo shoot. My mum was killing me.
I've seen that. I've seen that at Bondi Beach in Englishmen. You gotta go with me on this one. Is the heat going to be a problem? I'm worried for you.
I genuinely don't know. I don't know. It's such a difficult one because the players have been out acclimatizing for a good few weeks now. Sports science, technology, there are so many things that you can help with recovery to make sure you are at your absolute optimum when the whistle blows. And I'm talking about players who are on the pitch and maybe need to stay on the pitch, like Harry Kane. What will his in-game tweaks be? Because he was absolutely, you know, back during the Euros in Germany, you know, England fans were all over him because he wasn't moving much in games, but actually his role was to link play, stand still, and then go and arrive in the box when needed. So I think sometimes that's where I just hope that people don't get on England players' backs to sort of go, you know, maybe they're tweaking their performance, maybe they're adapting to in-game. I think everybody just needs to sit back, trust it, and maybe the heat will be a factor, but the cooling breaks are there, aren't they? So they can keep hydrated.
Mate, those hydration breaks, you got to give it to me straight. Like, how are you feeling about the Americans taking, you know, your game and turning it into four quarters? Like, we're in sort of a kind of a weird sort of amalgamated sport all of a sudden.
Yeah, I can't really deliver my real views on that, but
hey, give us a taste.
Let's not go there. But no, I'm not a fan of it at all. I really am not. But I get it. It happens a lot. I mean, I work a lot in the women's game back in England in the WSL, and there's a lot of goalkeeping timeouts that happen. And if you look at the clock when they happen, it's normally about 22 minutes 30 in the first half and then 68 in the second half. So I think that just goes to show that it's part of the game now, and I guess you just have to adapt to it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're a pundit for a, you know, a major media organisation, maybe commercial break's not the end of the world. Maybe a good thing, potentially. Just, I'm not putting words in your mouth, Izzy, but, you know, you might be picking up what I'm putting down. Hey, Jude Bellingham, like, I feel as though he could be a player, you know, this is a huge take, who could swing the tournament. I mean, obviously, like, elite level talent. We know where the ceiling can be. Do you have a sense of which Jude Bellingham we're going to get at this tournament?
Well, he's got huge competition, hasn't he, with Morgan Rogers, and I think that's really healthy. You go back to Harry Kane's position, and he doesn't necessarily have somebody who is in line to take his spot. You've got Ollie Watkins, but I think that's a different psychology, and I think that he has to embrace the competition because it's very much speculated in England that, you know, Morgan Rogers could play in the season he's had at Villa. He absolutely could play. And I think when you've got a manager like Tuchel, he's not afraid to make big calls. And if he believes that Morgan Rogers is the right player to play, he will make that decision regardless of whether we're talking about a big star like Jude Bellingham. And that's what I like about Tuchel, but I think that Bellingham's been really honest. He's been really sort of open about the fact that he's embracing the competition. You know, he obviously wants the badge to do well, not just himself.
The guy who scores the goal in the World Cup winning final isn't always the one that you bet your house on. So everyone's got to be ready. Everyone's got to feel loved. Everyone's got to feel like they're playing a huge part of the team. And the other thing is, yeah, just to enjoy it, enjoy the sessions, enjoy the games, enjoy the suffering when we're suffering in games, enjoy the feeling of having your backs against the wall, and then when you do win, enjoy the feeling of, you know, overcoming another country. You know, it's a huge feat.
And I think that a little bit like I referred to the whole team of England like a bird on a branch ready to fly, I feel like Bellingham is in the same spot because he is somebody who hasn't necessarily had a big season. He's received a bit of criticism. His teammates have come out and defended him. But there's no denying the level of quality that Jude has. He is an unbelievable footballer. He is a modern number 10. He's physical. He's a ball carrier. He's a goal scorer. He puts the tackles in, and that's what fans want to see.
For now, Bellingham driving forward. Oh, ankle breaker for Arnold. Bellingham. Oh, would have been glorious, and it is going to go in for Jude Bellingham.
And if Tuchel can find a way to get the best out of him, if you're picking the team and Jude Bellingham's been training well and he looks ready, he's the guy you put in that 10 role for me to work with and around Harry Kane. So let's hope that this is his tournament, because he is probably the player in my eyes as close to Harry Kane as that stardom in that England side.
First up is Croatia. We know they're major tournament bona fides. Football fans will be drawn to evergreen Luka Modric. Again, still getting it done. 40. Oh, my God. Like, when you think about, like, the greats of the game that we're going to see on the way out potentially at this World Cup, he's right up among them. How dangerous is that tournament opener to cop Croatia first up?
It's so dangerous, because if they don't win the game, you know, that brings on the fans, you know, on the backs of the team, the media, everything. I think you don't want to peak too soon. We don't expect the world to change with England's performance against Croatia on Wednesday night. We expect, you know, a dominant, dynamic performance. We want to see sprinklings of what this team can offer. We want to see a result. We want to see those 3 points to, you know, to settle things down. Because also England being in Group L, they just have to wait the longest to play their first game, which also is a different psychology. So there's so many factors to deal with. But you know what you can see? There are so many people around the world. Luka Modric is my favourite player ever, him and Frank Lampard. So to see him playing again, and you can just sort of feel it could potentially happen that Luka Modric plays in midfield for Croatia and he dictates the whole game and they end up snatching a 1-0. You can just see it. It could happen because he has that level of quality.
Salamaka's across and there he is, Luka Modric. This game needed something special. And in the week that he celebrated his 40th birthday, Luka Modric shows age is no barrier and gets his first goal for the club.
Like the fine wine.
But ultimately, you just want to see the best players out there performing. And but let's hope that Modric plays well, but England still get the result they need.
Is he, is football coming home? Last question.
I'm going to sit on the fence. I don't know. If England start to fly and leave the branch at the right time, I think they could. But there's so many teams I've seen already that look strong and a lot can happen in the next 5 or 6 weeks.
Can't wait to soak it all up. World Cup doesn't get any better. Izzy Christensen, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Headlines. Can a nil or draw be thrilling, gripping, packed full of romance? It can when you are Cabo Verde. The island nation from Africa has a population of just over 500,000. This was their first World Cup and they drew tournament favourite Spain. First up, the former champions had 27 shots on goal, but they could not break the Africans.
That is it. Cabo Verde with a result of a lifetime. And their debut on the world stage, and they have held Spain to nil. Extraordinary achievement, defending for their lives. And this will be remembered for a long, long time.
Goalkeeper Vizinha made 7 saves. The 40-year-old was player of the match and the internet bloody loves him. He's grown his Instagram following from 45,000 to 4 million at last count. He's probably heading for 5. Reports from the New York Times suggest he is the oldest player to play in a nation's debut World Cup game. Sadly, his mum couldn't see the heroics IRL because of a US visa situation.
And we are very, very happy, very proud of all of the players, all the people from Cape Verde. I cry because I grew up with my grandfathers, my grandparents, and unfortunately they are not here. They died a few years before. Everything for me. They give everything for me, for my life. And also because my mom, she didn't manage to be here because of the visa, because of the money you have to pay for the visa, we didn't manage on time, and I would like she to be here, but I'm very happy also, and I'm very happy for all the Cape Verdean people.
Speaking of awkward subplots to glorious on-field stories, Gianni Infantino, FIFA boss, was in attendance to watch Iran's action-packed 2-2 draw with New Zealand in LA. Eli just grabbed 2 for the Kiwis. Los Angeles has the largest Iranian population outside of Iran, estimated north of 500,000. That's the same as Cabo Verde, and a heap of them were at the ground going absolutely bananas as the equaliser went in late.
Have to go some to match the performance in their second game. Here come Iran, free header in!
When you consider Iran has been at war with the country they're playing in, well, I guess you might diplomatically say there are levels to this situation. US government is actually only allowing the team to be in America for 24-hour windows, so they're FIFO for the tournament out of Mexico. Earlier, Saudi Arabia and Uruguay drew 1-1, while Belgium also drew 1-1 with Egypt. The last time we had 4 draws on the same day of a World Cup, that was 68 years ago. Finally, Australian referee Sean Evans has been cleared of wrongdoing by FIFA. Why was he in strife? Well, he was shown as the VAR ref before a game yesterday and did the OK hand signal, which pranksters in Australia consider to be a kind of major look gag. Sadly, there are parts of the world where that is considered a white supremacist signal. He has been investigated, and he submitted it was neither of those things, but a subconscious twitch. He's been subsequently cleared, but a bit awkward to say the least for the Australian referee. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily World Cup special produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to the Bundesliga, England national team, beIN Sports, TalkSport, SBS and the BBC, as well as Sportscast for the extra audio used in this episode.